Swarm FM bringing you insight into the 2019 forthcoming federal election. الإذاعة الإسلامية تقدم لكم التغطية الإعلامية للانتخابات الفيدرالية لعام 2019. مستمعين الكرام، مع اقتراب موعد الانتخابات الفيدرالية التي حددت في 18 من أيار مايو، يسعدنا أن نلتقي في برنامج اليوم بالنائب الفيدرالي عن فاولا كريس هايز لنتكلم معه عن حملته الانتخابية. Dear listeners, in the light of the upcoming federal election which will take place on May the 18th, it gives me pleasure to welcome in the studios of 2MFM the Chief Opposition Whip and the Federal Labour Member for Fowler, Mr. Chris Hayes. Welcome to 2MFM, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you very much.
Now, we already know who Chris Hayes is, but because we haven't spoken for a while, can you please remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and how long you have been in office for?
Well, I first came to the Parliament in 2005 in the seat of Werriwa. In 2010, I transferred the seat to Fowler. I grew up in Western Sydney. Matter of fact, my parents lived in Padstow. All my schooling's been out here. And my family, my wife and myself, we moved to Campbelltown 40 years ago yesterday. All my connection with the community has basically been through Western Sydney.
بداية طلبت من النائب هايز أن يذكر المستمعين بنفسه وكم مضى له في منصبه، فأجاب: لقد دخلت البرلمان أول مرة في عام 2005 وروى، ثم انتقلت إلى مقعد فاولا في عام 2010. لقد نشأت وترعرعت في غرب سيدني حيث سكنت عائلتي ضاحية بادستو، ثم انتقلت للعيش مع زوجتي في كامبلتاون منذ 40 سنة. فإذن علاقتي مع الناس كانت وما زالت في غرب سيدني. Mr. Hayes, what has been your contribution in helping to develop the region of Fowler into a better region during the last 3 years as MP for Fowler thus far?
Well, tough question, but could I just say for all the listeners, my electorate of Fowler is the most multicultural electorate in Australia. It is very colourful, it's very vibrant, enormous diversity in terms of cultural backgrounds, people's respective heritages. I would like to think that people would consider that I have played a role in fostering our multicultural society over that period of time. But apart from being very colourful and very vibrant, my community, regrettably, is not a rich community. Matter of fact, the average household income, not personal income, household income, is just a little bit over $60,000 a year. So my community is not rich. We have tried to support them in the way we've set about our policy strategy coming to this election, quite frankly. What we are doing to help elderly in respect to, was I have something in the vicinity of 13,500 that are on the age pension. What we are doing to help them through pension and dental care. Or, as your listeners appreciate, you're often being told, why aren't there more women in work? Well, the truth is, like yourself, having a child is very difficult. And I know, given the fact that I have a daughter, I know how expensive childcare is. For many in my community now, childcare, if Labor is elected, will be free. That will free women up to be able to actually get back to the workforce, being able to support the family, and also the value of being in work itself, I think, also should be understood. So, look, that's just a snapshot of a couple of things that we have been working on and hopefully that we will be able to deliver on if Labor is elected on the 18th of May this year.
ثم طلبت منه أن يطلع المستمعين على مساهماته كنائب في تطوير الضواحي الموجودة في فاولا وتحسينها في خلال السنوات الثلاثة الأخيرة الماضية، فأجاب: إنه سؤال صعب، لكني سأقول للمستمعين إن دائرة فاولا الانتخابية هي الأكثر تنوعاً وتلوناً وتعج بالحيوية، ونسبة التنوع الحضاري فيها مرتفع جداً، وأتمنى لو أن الناس يرون أني ساهمت في المحافظة على مجتمع متعدد الحضارات في ذلك الوقت. وبالرغم من أن المجتمع منتعش ومتعدد الحضارات، إلا أنه وللأسف ليس غنيا. إذ أن راتب العائلة، ولا أقول الفرد بل العائلة، يزيد بقليل على $60,000 سنويا، وأنا أحاول تقديم الدعم لهم، وقد وضعنا استراتيجية لهذه الانتخابات. فمثلا بالنسبة لكبار السن سنساهم بزيادة $3,500 على دفعة المتقاعدين مخصصة للعناية بالأسنان. وهناك كذلك موضوع حضانة الأطفال التي تمنع الكثير من النساء من العودة إلى العمل، فإذا انتخب حزب العمال سأجعل رعاية الأطفال مجانية، ما سيساعد المرأة على العودة إلى العمل ومساعدة العائلة ماديا. فهذه إذن لمحة بسيطة عن القضايا التي سنعمل عليها وسنقدمها لمجتمعنا إذا انتخب حزب العمال في أيار مايو هذه السنة.
Mr. Hayes, you did touch on the issue of multiculturalism, and I do agree as a citizen of Western Sydney, yes, we are a very multicultural region. But let us be frank, tolerance of multiculturalism has been affected partly due to international affairs and also partly due to the language used by some politicians. So will Labour look at improving and emphasising multicultural relations in Australia?
Well, firstly, can I say that it wasn't our side of politics that sought to change 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act, where it is an offence to provoke racial discrimination. Clearly, I think one of the things that Section 18C is silent on, or that the racial discrimination is silent on, is discrimination on the basis of religion. Now, I employ two Muslim women who assist me in not only delivering services to the community, but also understanding some of the fundamental challenges faced by the Muslim community here in Western Sydney. I'd like to think we're a pretty successful multicultural community, and successful because not because it just naturally happens, because we work at it. If we just assume that we have people from all over the globe coming here and it all just naturally works, I think we're fooling ourselves. I think Labor has always been the party of multiculturalism. We have always stood up to the racist comments being made by, whether it be the Pauline Hanson Party, and all the fallouts from them, the Australian Conservatives. And also, don't forget, it was the Liberal Attorney General who said people had a right to be racist. You know, these are things that in politics, I know, and Pauline Hanson's helped us, by the way, to know this, if you scratch under the surface, you can find racism. But as community leaders, we've got to play our role in ensuring that we promote in every opportunity unity in our communities. And and particularly this, you're in this day of Ramadan, and that's why most of us will be visiting mosques and talking about Ramadan, because we actually believe in principles. I spoke at a function last night in State Parliament House, and part of what I spoke about is the virtues of Ramadan are the same virtues really that underpinned our civilization and our community. Peace, tolerance, caring for people in need, compassion, and belief and care for your own family. Now, these are things that as you fast and go through in your most holiest months, is going to exercise the minds of every Muslim heading into this period. And these are things that we shouldn't say, well, that's just for those of the Islamic faith. They are things that really underpin us as a society. And that's that was the basis of my speech last night.
ثم سألت النائب هايز ما يلي: لقد ذكرت منذ قليل موضوع التعددية الحضارية، وأنا أوافق أننا في غرب سيدني مجتمع متعدد الحضارات، لكن لنكون صريحين، إن تقبل التعددية الحضارية قد تأثر بالقضايا العالمية وأيضا باللغة التي يستعملها بعض السياسيين، فهل سيحاول حزب العمال تحسين هذا الأمر؟ أجاب: أولا، ليس حزبي هو الذي حاول إضعاف قانون الأيتين سي، وهو قانون التمييز العنصري، والواضح أن هذا القانون لا يتكلم عن العنصرية بسبب الدين، ولقد وظفت في مكتبي امرأتين مسلمتين لا تساعدانني فقط في خدمة الناس، بل وفي تفهم التحديات الأساسية التي تواجه الجالية الإسلامية في غرب سيدني. نحن مجتمع تعددي حضاري ناجح، ولم يتحقق هذا الأمر لوحده، بل إن حزب العمال وقف دائما بوجه التعليقات العنصرية التي صدرت عن بولين هانسن ومن انفصل عنها. ولا ننسى أيضا كلام المدعي العام الفيدرالي السابق بأن للشخص أن يكون عنصريا. ونحن كقادة علينا أن نعمل على تقريب المجتمعات من بعضها، ولا سيما ونحن الآن في رمضان حيث نزور المساجد ونتكلم عن مبادئ وفضائل رمضان، وهي نفسها موجودة في مجتمعنا، وهي الاهتمام بالآخرين والعطف عليهم والاهتمام بالعائلة أيضا. Mr. Hayes, you mentioned earlier that if Labour is elected, for many of your community members, childcare will be free. Can you please explain to the listeners how is this going to be implemented?
And I am going just by memory. I think a woman earning less than $69,000 a year, her childcare would basically be free. And if you extrapolate that to my community, as I said earlier, the average household income in my community is just a little over $60,000. So it would mean many, many in my community would benefit from that because we are regrettably, a low-income community. So being able to, for women to be able to get out, to be part of the workforce, is more than just making money, socialisation, everything else, but it's also good for children, being able to actually be part of, seeing their parents making a contribution. That's just a way of life. Kids mimic what parents do. And if you take that in terms of also our policy for all 3- and 4-year-olds to be able to get funded 15 hours preschool a week. Now, that's different than childcare, but that's for every 3- and 4-year-old to be able to be funded for 15 hours a week preschool. All the academic information I've seen is that kids that participate in preschool do so much better when they're entering the primary school environment. Their ability to pick up information, to process information is that much enhanced by preschool. So we just think that in terms of education, we want the best for Australians. And one of the things, and I suppose it's not necessarily germane just to Muslim Radio, but for this interview, but my electorate, more than 50% of all parents are born outside of Australia. So we have many, as I said, different cultures, various languages are being spoken. The more that we can actually help children settle into an education system, far better for those children as they're going to progress through primary school and high school, university, TAFE colleges, etc. And I suppose, the simple fact is for every dollar you invest in education is an investment in our country's future.
ثم سألته ما يلي: لقد ذكرت آنفا أنه في حال انتخب حزب العمال فإن رعاية الأطفال ستصبح للعديد من الناس مجانية، فهل تخبرنا كيف سيطبق ذلك؟ أجاب: على حسب ما أذكر، إن المرأة التي تتقاضى أقل من $69,000 في السنة فإن رعاية طفلها سوف تكون مجانية، ولأن الكثير من الذين يسكنون في دائرة الانتخابية يتقاضون أكثر بقليل من $60,000 سنويا، يعني أن عددا كبيرا منهم سيستفيدوا من هذا. ثم أضاف: إن الطفل الذي بعمر 3 أو 4 سنوات سيخصص له 15 ساعة مجانية في البريسكول في الأسبوع، وهذا يختلف عن أمر رعاية الأطفال، وإن البحوث الأكاديمية أشارت إلى أن الطفل الذي يلتحق بالبريسكول له أثر إيجابي على تحصيل الطفل العلمي لاحقا. ثم أضاف: إن موضوع التعليم أمر مهم لكل أفراد المجتمع، فإن أكثر من 50% من السكان في دائرة الانتخابية قد ولدوا خارج أستراليا ويتكلمون بلغات مختلفة، وإذا ساعدنا الأطفال على الاندماج في النظام التعليمي فإن هذا سيقويهم في كل مراحل دراستهم. Mr. Hayes, the divide between wages and cost of living has been very wide, with many families struggling to make ends meet, particularly with the rising house prices, gas and electricity. Can you provide more information as how the Labour Party would increase with wages? And will this be in the form of a tax cut, subsidies, etc.?
The way we propose to do that is that at the moment the Fair Work Commission sets the award wage. Now, they simply go through and they'll do that statistically and work out what workers as worth. What we're going to require them to do is, in their considerations, we do this by legislation, is require them to look at the minimum rate of the award being a living wage. This is how things were calculated back in 1907. And without being sexist, in those days the court would decide what was the living wage for a man supporting a wife with three children. They actually went in how much the rent would be, all those sort of factors, and they established in those days what was the basic living wage for people. Not the minimum wage, but the basic living wage. So we will move to convert award wages, as they appear now, to living wages. So it will be a reassessment to make sure that people aren't working and living in poverty.
Yes, a lot of people rent alone in addition to the petrol prices, which have gone up, and the expense of raising children. So really, families in Western Sydney are struggling to make ends meet.
There's 150 federal electorates in Australia. We're all going to an election on the 18th of May. Of those 150 electorates, mine tops the list of people that are suffering from rental stress because the rents have gone up, but the wages haven't gone up. We have so many people who are technically homeless, living with relatives, living in people's garages. You know, and that's simply a fact of life. We need to be doing more in that space. And one of the things that we aim to do is to encourage developers to build low-cost rental accommodation. So we will ensure for the next 15 years, if a developer builds accommodation and rents it out at 20% below market rates, they will get, I think it's around about an $8,500 additional tax deduction each year as a consequence. So it's to encourage people not only to build with a view to making a profit, but over a longer period of time, if you build with a view to actually assisting people into the housing and into home units and things, we will make it worth their while through the tax system.
ثم طرحت على النائب هايز السؤال التالي: إن الفارق بين الرواتب قد اتسع وكلفة المعيشة قد ارتفعت بشكل ملحوظ، وإن الكثير من العائلات تجد صعوبة في تحصيل ما يحتاجونه، لا سيما في ظل غلاء أسعار المنازل والغاز والكهرباء. هل لك أن تذكر لنا كيف سيرفع حزب العمال نسبة الرواتب؟ هل عن طريق تخفيض الضرائب أم ماذا؟ أجاب: حالياً إن مفوضية العمل تحاول وضع حد للرواتب، ونحن نطلب منهم النظر إلى حاجات الناس كما حصل في عام 1987. ففي تلك الأيام كانت المحكمة تقرر ما هو الراتب الذي يحتاجه رجل متزوج ينفق على زوجته وأطفاله الثلاثة. هكذا يقررون الأجر الذي يحتاجه الشخص وليس الحد الأدنى من الأجر. فإن كثيرا من الناس يعيشون في فقر مع أنهم يعملون. ثم قلت له: نعم، إن الكثير من الناس يجدون صعوبة في دفع إيجار المنزل مثلا والكهرباء والغاز إضافة إلى نفقة الأطفال. فقال: إن هناك 150 دائرة انتخابية في نيو ساوث ويلز، وإن دائرة الانتخابية تأتي في الصدارة من ناحية عدد الأشخاص الذين يعيشون في فقر، فالعديد منهم مشردون، ليس لديهم منزل، يعيشون في كراجات المنازل، لذا علينا أن نفعل الأكثر لمعالجة هذا الأمر، ومن ذلك مثلا الطلب إلى متعهدي البناء أن يبنوا مباني كلفتها غير باهظة. نريدهم أن يبنوا مباني ليس للتجارة، أي ليس لتحصيل الربح الوفير، بل للمساعدة في قطاع الإسكان. وبالمقابل فإننا سنساعدهم في تخفيف الضرائب عنهم، يعني أنه في خلال 15 سنة المقبلة إذا قام المتعهدون ببناء مباني سكنية وأجروها للناس بسعر يقل 20% عن سعر السوق، فإنه سيحصل على تخفيض ضريبي يصل إلى $8,500 سنويا، وذلك لتشجيعه. Mr. Hayes, do you agree that the return of penalty rates in addition to the increase of wages will mean a lot small businesses will be forced to close?
The funny thing about this is an argument, every economist in the country, well, I think basically every economist, including the governor of the Reserve Bank, agrees wage stagnation is the main underlining problem in the Australian economy. And, you know, businesses all agree with that, because if wages aren't going up, people don't have money to spend in your local shops and in your local small business and all the rest of it. But no one wants to be the first. So if you put it to employers, they'll say, oh, yes, that's a good thing to do if everyone got more, but not our business, because you know, I can't afford to pay people more. Look, the simple fact is up until 8 months ago, people were paid their penalty rates for working on Sundays and public holidays. The government refused to join with Labor, and we said, well, look, if you're working unsociable hours, that's why it's called a penalty. It's not an add-on, it's actually a penalty. And if you, you know, if you go to restaurants, many restaurants in Sydney or Melbourne or anywhere else, if you go there on a Sunday or a public holiday, you actually get charged a surplus for it from if you go to the restaurant for a coffee or whatever. We just think it attacked the people that work in retail, people who work in hospitality, the lowest paid workers effectively. And for that, for many of them, that meant $110 a week that they lost. Now, people have traded off things in the past, and there's many agreements with trade unions and other things that where people have absorbed penalty rates into their overall rate of pay. That didn't occur here. They just simply lost their penalty rates. Now, it wasn't people who were earning lots of money. It was people at the lowest end of the wages scale that have been deprived. So, you know, I think every business, I don't know, when they stopped paying penalty rates, did they cut their prices in their restaurants or cut the prices in their retail shops? Or did they just increase their profits by someone's loss of penalty rates? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, so by having that cost cut, they are in return making some money back into the business. So maybe if the business is earning a threshold or something, even if it is only a small business and the owner may not be making a lot of money, can they still keep some money in their pocket?
Well, if it was a small family business, I'm not sure how they would be paying their family workers. But if we get our way, and for instance, if we get the award wage become a living wage, you know, they'll be legally required to pay whatever that rate of pay is.
ثم سألت النائب كريس هايز هل تعتقد أن إعادة علاوة العمل في العطل الرسمية أو العطل الأسبوعية إضافة إلى زيادة الرواتب سوف يدفع بأصحاب العمل إلى إغلاق مؤسساتهم التجارية الصغيرة؟ قال الاقتصاديون جميعهم وحاكم المصرف الاحتياطي يعلم أن الركود في الأجور أي في بقاء الأجور على حالها هو السبب الرئيسي في مشاكل الاقتصاد الأسترالي وأصحاب العمل يعلمون ذلك أي يعلمون أنه إذا لم يكن لدى الشخص مال فإنه لا يستطيع أن يشتري المنتجات والعديد من أصحاب الأعمال يوافقون على ذلك لكنهم لا يستطيعون دفع العلاوات منذ حوالي 8 أشهر كان الناس يتلقون علاوات عند العمل في العطل الأسبوعية والعطل الرسمية لكن الحكومة رفضت أن تنضم لحزب العمال في إعطاء العمال هذه العلاوات لا سيما الذين يعملون في قطاع الضيافة مثلا المطاعم وما شابه والمحلات التجارية الصغيرة فإنهم يتقاضون أجورا متدنية وبقطع هذه العلاوة فقد خسروا بذلك $110 أسبوعيا والسؤال الذي يطرح هو أنه لما أوقفوا إعطاء هذه العلاوات هل خفضوا أسعارهم في متاجرهم ومطاعمهم بل قد ازدادت أرباحهم؟ Mr. Hayes, climate change has been a big topic that has been going backwards and forward between both parties. So can you please highlight the initiatives that Labor Party are planning to introduce if elected?
Well, apart from what's already been said about reducing our pollution levels by 45% by the year 2030, having 50% renewables by also 2030, and you're seeing the take up now on people's houses and things like that in terms of solar panels. We're conscious that there is a need to actually reduce our reliance on carbon-based energy. I was going to say we're the only party that had a policy of doing that. The truth of the matter is the Liberals also had a policy of which we've worked very closely with and in terms of the National Energy Guarantee. Whilst it was approved by their party room on 3 or 4 occasions, Malcolm Turnbull couldn't and Geoff Frydenberg couldn't deliver it. So they go to this election without a policy in that regard. But we effectively have breathed life back into the National Energy Guarantee. We And we are convinced the only way to bring prices of energy down is by increasing supply. And that's why we want to give the incentive for those people investing into research and development of renewable energy in this country, the incentive to do so, and to be able to raise money for their public companies to actually invest in the longer term in energy production. And there's companies that I've worked with in the past that are doing just that now, which are very much encouraged by Labor having clear and concise positions on climate change and what we're going to do about it. Whereas on the other side of politics, they tried to do that. They tried on a number of times, but the extreme right wing of their party prevented from having a policy.
ثم سألت النائب هايز ما يلي: إن التغيير المناخي هو من أهم المواضيع التي يكثر فيها الجدل الآن بين الأحزاب، فهل تذكر لنا المبادرات التي يخطط العمال لتطبيقها في حال انتخابه؟ أجاب: الخطة هي تخفيض نسبة التلوث ب 45% مع حلول عام 2030، وإننا مقتنعون بأن الحل الوحيد لتخفيض سعر الكهرباء هو بزيادة الإنتاج، لذا علينا الاستثمار في قطاع الطاقة المولدة. Mr. Hayes, you know that a large number of the community members cannot afford the cost of the solar panels. So will Labour be looking at introducing more affordable technologies that are efficient?
Preponderance now of LED lighting is to overcome that. But you're right. There's most of the people in my community could not afford solar panels. And that's one of the reasons why we are moving to use every school, make it a solar school. So, you know, you think about all the schools that we have, and you've got a couple across the road here and one. Imagine all their roof space if we made it easier for them to have solar panels on every one of their schools. That would have a huge impact in the power generation in this country when you take every school in every state becoming a solar school. So we are looking to do that, and that's really producing energy which is being produced within everyone's local community.
ثم ذكرت للنائب هايز أن العديد من أفراد المجتمع لا يستطيعون تحمل كلفة وضع الألواح الشمسية solar panel الذي يستعمل لتوليد الطاقة من أشعة الشمس بسبب كلفتها الباهظة، فهل هناك طريقة أقل كلفة يمكنهم استعمالها؟ فأجاب: هناك الـ LED lighting، وصحيح أن الكثير من الناس لا يستطيعون وضع السولار بانول لأنها غالية الثمن، لذا فإننا سنستعمل سقوف المدارس لنضع عليها هذه الألواح الشمسية لتوليد الطاقة. تخيلي لو أننا وضعنا هذه الألواح على سقوف كل المدارس، كم من الطاقة سنستطيع توليدها؟ ونحن نتطلع إلى تطبيق ذلك. Mr. Hayes, education, I feel, has been covered immensely in this election, but it has been raised in a few discussions, especially as our literacy and numeracy skills are not to par with other comparable nations. Do you think, if successful with this election, the Labour Party would invest money in improving education? If so, can you please provide some of the initiatives that would be introduced?
Well, we will certainly be putting over the next decade, $14 billion extra into public schools. That will it will go to actually assisting the development of teachers, helping to attract the best and brightest as educators, and will also go to helping students that need specific need. Regrettably, in my area, and as I say, it's not a rich area, but my area is also overrepresented with families that live with disabilities. We need more schools that can actually cater for disabilities. Matter of fact, might be of interest to your listeners to know that within a 20-kilometre radius of Liverpool CBD is over 50% of all families in New South Wales that live with autism. And, you know, it's not anything to do with the water we drink out here or there we breathe. It's simply the fact that our housing is seen as cheaper than other parts of Sydney. We have more housing commission out here as a consequence. But so people tend to actually gravitate out here if they have a child with a disability. But the worst case for scenario, or one of the worst statistics I know about autism, is more than 80% of those families are single parent families. You know, regrettably, many marriages don't survive the pressures of having a child with a disability. So look, they're things that are very real and need to be dressed, particularly in our schools out here. But yeah, things such as we want to do more for children with disabilities. We want to support language schools. As we said at the start of this interview, mine's the most multicultural electorate in the country. And it's not every child that is, you know, naturally speaks their languages at home. But kids these days are growing up more and more now want to be in touch with their heritage. So we will put up to $25,000 into every language school in our community. So in Fowler, I have many for the Vietnamese, the Cambodians, the Thais, those from the Middle East. But yeah, for kids who want to stay in touch with the mother tongue of where they will, where their parents immigrated from. So, yeah, we will certainly make a huge impact into that. We want to also make it easier for kids to get to university and to TAFE colleges. Regrettably, the government over the last 6 years has seemed to think that university has been a cash cow where you can take money out of, put less funds into, and put that on the bottom line of your budgets. And similarly, TAFE colleges, look, not to say there's another mining boom around the corner, but if we are serious about having about competing on the world market, we need the skills for our children, need the skills to compete. And through a properly funded TAFE, their ability to get to university, and bear in mind, over the next 2 decades, it's going to require probably the 50% of all jobs are going to require a young person to have either a degree or a certificate from TAFE. So, you know, these are real challenges. You don't want to do what John Howard did, get to a mining boom and decide, well, we haven't got the skills we need in this country, so we'll bring everybody in on a 457 visa. We want to make sure we have the skills we need for the future.
ثم انتقلت إلى موضوع التعليم الذي دار الكلام حوله كثيرا خلال الانتخابات، لا سيما لو أردنا مقارنة نسبة مهارات القراءة والكتابة والحساب التي لدى الطلاب في أستراليا مع أقرانهم في بلاد أخرى. فلو أن حزب العمال انتخب، هل سيستثمر أكثر في قطاع التعليم؟ وما هي المبادرات التي أعلن عنها؟ أجاب: بالطبع إننا سنخصص مبلغ 40 مليون دولار إضافية في خلال العشر سنوات القادمة في المدارس الحكومية، وسنساهم في تنمية قدرات الأساتذة على التدريس وجلب الأساتذة الأكفاء وأيضا مساعدة الطلاب من ذوي الاحتياجات الخاصة. وللأسف فإن دائرتي ليست غنية وعدد أصحاب الإعاقة فيها مرتفع، لذا فإننا نحتاج إلى مدارس مؤهلة لمساعدة هؤلاء الطلاب. ولعلمكم فإن مسافة قطرها 20 كيلومتر في محيط مدينة ليفربول يوجد فيها أكثر من 50% من العائلات في ولاية نيو ساوث ويلز ممن تعيش مع حالات التوحد الأوتزم، والسبب هو أن أسعار المنازل أرخص من مدن أخرى في ليفربول، ونتيجة لذلك فإن منازل السكنية الشعبية الممولة من الحكومة موجودة هنا أكثر مما هي في غير مدن وضواحي. وإن الإحصاءات المخيفة هي أن أكثر من 80% من حالات التوحد هي في عائلات المعيل فيها شخص واحد، أي إما أب أو أم، لأن الوالدين منفصلان. لذا نريد دعم هذه العائلات المحتاجة ودعم المدارس أيضا التي تعلم اللغات، فإن العديد من العائلات تريد تعليم أطفالها لغتهم الأم. لذا فإننا سنخصص مبلغا يصل إلى 25,000 دولار في كل مدرسة للغة. كذلك نريد مساعدة الأطفال ليصلوا إلى الجامعة أو إلى التيف، فإننا إذا أردنا منافسة الآخرين في دول أخرى علينا تحسين مهارات الطلاب الذين يلتحقون بالمعاهد التقنية أي التيف. كذلك فإن 50% من الأعمال تتطلب أن يكون لدى الشخص إما شهادة جامعية أو شهادة من التيف، ولا نريد أن نمضي بما فعله جون هاورد عندما أقر تأشيرة 457 لأصحاب المهارات، بل نريد أن نعمل على تطوير مهارات طلابنا. Mr. Hayes, in addition to that, why do you think our literacy and numeracy skills have dropped in the last few years?
Look, I've heard many explanations from it. I'm not a teacher, so I'm really not confident to give an explanation on that. But I do know these are areas that we need to compete, particularly competing in the Asian market, in the digital economies of the world as well. We need to actually enhance our position that and STEM subjects. So technology, science, technology and Precisely. If we want to be the smart nation for the world, that's where we've got to go.
أما عن سبب تدني نسبة مهارات القراءة والحساب لدى طلابنا، قال النائب هايز: أنا لست خبيرا في هذا الشأن، لكن أعلم أن هذه هي المواد التي نحتاجها لننافس خاصة السوق الأسيوية، لاسيما في مجال الاقتصاد الرقمي، فلابد من التركيز على مادة العلوم التكنولوجية.
Mr. Hayes, and while on the topic of education, perhaps you may know that a significant number of teachers that have started the profession are resigning due to stress or pressure. Do you think there is something labor should do to provide them with the support they need?
Look, I think there are things that can be done, and everything you said is quite true. And bear in mind, I've got a daughter who's a teacher, so I get told this regularly. I think we've got to, if we want to have the best and brightest being attracted into the teaching profession, it's not just a matter of making sure that they're paid as a professional. It's a matter of sure that they're being treated as a professional. Now, I think we've seen in some radio program, TV programs recently of how some teachers are being treated. As a matter of fact, there's a teacher only stabbed the other day. I don't hear of too many doctors experiencing that. But when you go to countries overseas like the Netherlands and others, they regard their teachers as an equivalent to their doctors and their engineers. So they see their teachers up there as professionals. I think we as a community have to actually focus on that as well. So one of the things that we will do is providing a bursary to attract people into education. We will ensure that we can make it easier for gifted students or gifted potential teachers to be able to take on some of the harder teaching subjects and be able to ensure that they're not prejudiced with high HECS fees, for instance. So a bursary to our teachers coming through, I think, is going to be important. They'll be tax-free up to $10,000 per annum for teachers that will work in the public sector. And we used to do that sort of stuff to encourage teachers to work in rural areas one time. But we will do what it takes to ensure that we change the view of teaching. Education in this country should not be seen as simply a compulsory, cheap form of childminding. Now, while my community is not rich, while my community is made up ostensibly of migrants, they get this. My community sees education in a country like Australia is the ticket to success for their children. They will work very hard to make sure their kids get the best education they can afford to do. So it's not by surprise that the younger generation growing up, those that have grown up in my area, are doing quite well at university. Mum and Dad actually assures that they do their study, they participate in school events, because Mum and Dad have high aspirations for children. And they know, coming from migrant backgrounds, the ticket to success in a country like Australia starts with a good education.
ثم سألته ما يلي: إن عددا كبيرا من الأساتذة يستقلون من وظائفهم بسبب الإجهاد والضغط الشديدين، فهل تعتقد أنه بإمكان حزب العمال أن يفعل شيئا ليقدم لهم الدعم الذي يحتاجونه؟ أجاب: نعم، هناك أشياء كثيرة يمكننا فعلها، فما ذكرته هو صحيح. ابنتي معلمة وأسمع منها عن هذه الأمور وعن حوادث يتعرض لها الأساتذة، ولا سيما حادثة الطعن الأخيرة التي تعرض لها أحد الأساتذة، وهذا لا يحصل للأطباء مثلا. في بلاد أوروبية مثلا كالنمسا يعامل الأستاذ بنفس الطريقة التي يعامل بها الطبيب أو المهندس، ونحن كمجتمع علينا أن نركز على ذلك. أما عنا نحن فعلينا أن نوفر دعما ماليا، منحة دراسية للطلاب الذين يختارون دراسة المواد التي لا يقبل عليها غيرهم لأنهم لا يجدون سهلة للدراسة. كذلك يمكننا إعفاء الأساتذة من مبلغ $10,000 ضريبة سنوية لجذبهم للعمل في الأماكن الريفية. خلاصة الأمر أن التعليم لا ينبغي أن ينظر إليه كأنه طريقة سهلة لرعاية الأطفال. إن الناس الذين يسكنون الضواحي الواقعة ضمن دائرة الانتخابية يقدرون الدراسة ويريدون لأبنائهم أن يبرعوا في هذا المجال.
Finally, Mr. Hayes, as we are now in the holy month of Ramadan, what message would you like to address the Muslim community with today?
Well, I think, as I said a little earlier, that having now spent many years attending mosques, having attended Ramadan dinners, as I did last night, but I find sometimes it's even more meaningful for me to go to a Ramadan dinner with a local family. I have learnt a lot more about Islam, and I've certainly learned a lot more about the actual values. I see many of the values, particularly those on showcase through Ramadan, kindness, fairness, prayerfulness, looking at, after people of need, you know, showing compassion for fellow Australians. You know, look, I think they're things we could all take a leaf out of that book, quite frankly. By the way, I also spoke last night, and there's no doubt the Islamic community, well, we're all were rocked in terms of what occurred in Christchurch and more recently what's now occurred in Sri Lanka, where we're seeing religious-based violence, extremists occurring. What I said last night was, well, the simple fact is it's an attack on our collective humanity. We simply should not allow anything that looks like tolerance of extreme views in our community. In Australia, in my community, there is no room for hate and violence. And I just think, like violence against women, where we see these examples of these things occurring, we should be prepared to stand up and say, you know, this is un-Australian. And look, it is just extraordinary what occurred in Christchurch. Yeah, we are very close to New Zealanders. And yet someone could walk into a place of worship with the sole purpose of killing. You know, it is just beyond belief. Now, these are things that we need to stand together as a community and be united against extremism, against hate. And we need to actually ensure that, quite frankly, our community, you know, reflects the goodness. I also offered last night that my community is multicultural, so we celebrate our diversity. But above all, we look to the good in our fellow mankind.
Chief Opposition Whip and Federal Member for Fowler, Mr. Chris Hayes, thank you for your time today and all the best.
Ramazan Madarik.
ختاما مستمعينا طلبت من النائب هايز أن يوجه كلمة للمسلمين بمناسبة حلول شهر رمضان المبارك فقال كما ذكرت آنفا لقد حضرت إفطارات كثيرة وزرت مساجد عديدة ولقد تعلمت الكثير عن الإسلام وعن قيمه فهناك العديد من القيم مثل معاملة الناس بالحسنى والتعاطف معهم والاهتمام بالمحتاجين والعطف عليهم كلها قيم نستطيع جميعا الالتزام بها وقد تكلمت في إفطار حضرته أمس عن الاعتداء الذي حصل في كرايستشيرش وفي سريلانكا فإنه لا ينبغي علينا أن نتحمل الآراء المتطرفة في مجتمعنا ولن يكون مكان فيه للكراهية ومثل هذا العنف وشبيه بالعنف ضد المرأة فعلينا أن نقول أن هذا الأمر هو غير أسترالي وما حصل في كرايستشيرش القريبة منا أن يدخل شخص إلى مكان عبادة بهدف واحد وهو القتل هو أمر لا يصدق وعلينا جميعا أن نقف ضده وأن نتحد ضد التطرف والكراهية فنحن مجتمع متنوع لكننا ننظر إلى الأشياء الحسنة التي لدينا مستمعين الكرام فيما مضى لقاؤنا كان مع النائب الفيدرالي عن مقعد فاولا كلمنا فيه عن بعض المبادرات التي طرحها حزب العمال في الانتخابات المقبلة المحددة في 18 من أيار مايو 2019 شكرا لإصغائكم وإلى اللقاء Dear listeners, I have been speaking to the Chief Opposition Whip and the Federal Labour MP for Fowler, Mr. Chris Hayes, about the initiatives that the Labour Party has put forward for the upcoming federal election scheduled on the 18th of May 2019. Thank you for joining me. Term FM bringing you insight into the 2019 forthcoming federal election. الإذاعة الإسلامية تقدم لكم التغطية الإعلامية للانتخابات الفيدرالية لعام 2019.